Our reading this morning is Psalm 100. Listen for God's word. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into the Lord's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is God who made us, and we are the Lord's. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. Enter the Lord's gates with thanksgiving, and the Lord's courts with praise. Give thanks to God. Bless the Lord's name. For the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever, and the Lord's faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It is a delight to be with you this morning and bring greetings from the 100 other churches within the Presbytery of the James. It's been a great 10 weeks. We had a presbytery meeting yesterday where 10 amendments to the Book of Order had to be presented by the stated clerk. And so I'm so grateful that one's done. But it's good to be with you. And I would like to read this morning's New Testament lesson from Eugene Peterson's The Message, 1 Timothy 6. But you, Timothy, man of God, run for your life from all this. Pursue a righteous life, a life of wonder, faith, love, steadiness, courtesy. Run hard and fast in the faith. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to, the life you so fervently embraced in the presence of so many witnesses. I am charging you before the life-giving God and before Christ, who took his stand before Pontius Pilate and didn't give an inch. Keep this command to the letter and don't slack off. Our Master, Jesus Christ, is on his way. He'll show up right on time, his arrival guaranteed by the blessed and undisputed ruler, the High King, the High God. He's the only one death can't touch. His light's so bright, no one can get close. The High King has never been seen by human eyes. Human eyes can't take him in. Honor to him and eternal rule. Oh, yes. Timothy, tell those who are rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage, to do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life. And oh, my dear Timothy, guard the treasure you were given. Guard it with your life. Avoid the talk show religion and the practiced confusion of the so-called experts. People caught up in a lot of talk can miss the whole point of faith. Overwhelming grace keep you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
I miss that drawer. It was back in our house in Roanoke, and Mom and Dad had that drawer, the dresser drawer in our bedroom. Whenever we would come back and visit, we would pull the drawer open and look inside for all those wonderful treasures that Mom left there. One of them was a bottle of Vitalis. Gentlemen, any of you remember using Vitalis? Yeah. When I had hair, it used to be able to flip it back. One of those big combs that I carried in my back pocket to middle school because I had this flowing blonde hair. And then that watch with the leather strap that was about an inch and a half wide, and it was, you wrapped it around like this, but it had a Timex, and you'd put it on it and snap the two snaps down. I would walk around school like this. Now it's a Fitbit, and I haven't walked enough. Sorry. Each of us have our little treasures. Our son, Philip, who is our middle child, lives up at Woodbrook, just off of 29. And he has a collection of Land Before Time dinosaurs that were up in the attic. So when we got up there and looked at them, Philip looked inside and also had some rocks and a blue jay's feather and all kinds of stuff. And he said, "Dad, this stuff is so cool. Please hold on to it." Well, Laura and I are selling our house on Friday, and all that stuff has to be moved on Wednesday. So he's coming tomorrow to take his Land Before Time dinosaurs with him. Treasures are everywhere. For the last 2.5 years, we've lived in Kansas City. And one of the treasures at Kansas City is the Lost Arabia steamship that in 1856 was coming up the Missouri River and was impaled on a tree stump that was just below the surface. And it punctured this boat that had 222 tons of cargo. It was like a floating Walmart. And everybody got off safely, but it sunk in the mud down at the bottom of the river, and for 132 years, no one knew where it was. But they looked at some old river charts, and it turned out that it was a half a mile away from the current course of the Missouri River. And they dug down 45 feet in a cornfield and found the ship. So if you're ever in Kansas City, go see the Lost Arabia, because they have buttons and shoes and saw blades and porcelain, beautiful china, and they're continuing to work on it as they are lifting those tons of cargo up to the surface. Treasure is defined as something of great worth or value. So that's what intrigued me about this text for today. The Apostle Paul is writing to young Timothy, the pastor of the church at Ephesus. It's almost like a parent writing to a young adult child. And after teaching about worship, church administration, and pastoral care, particularly to the widows and the elderly, Paul exhorts Timothy to live a righteous life, a life of wonder, faith, love, steadiness, and courtesy. Paul warns against becoming consumed by the woo of wealth. Instead, he encourages Timothy to teach and preach that God loves extravagant generosity. As the body of Christ at Westminster Presbyterian Church, extravagant generosity is essential. Your extravagant generosity is evident when you provide housing for men who are homeless through the PACHM program, which starts on March the 9th and goes for 2 weeks. I read your website this week. Extravagant generosity is evident when you do the Super Bowl of Caring and the congregation comes up with 508 cans. The youth group came up with 457 cans, but it's tremendous what that does for folks who are being fed through the Blue Ridge Food Bank. Extravagant generosity is evident in the fact that you are looking for an associate pastor for university and social justice ministries, continuing while at the same time continuing to strive to give at least 20% of your pledged income to mission and benevolence. In today's scripture, the Apostle Paul, like a wise father, turns to Timothy, this young pastor, And with the word for him, here is the word for us. Oh, my dear Timothy, Paul writes, guard the treasure you were given. Guard it with your life. What treasure? What is it that Timothy is talking about? So I read 1 and 2 Timothy, and when you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, you get the answer. The treasure is faith and sound teaching. Faith and sound teaching, or the good news of the gospel. I really appreciate Peterson's translation of verses 6 through 8 of chapter 4, where he writes, you've been raised on the message of the faith and have followed sound teaching. Now pass on this counsel to the Christians there, and you'll be a good servant of Jesus. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. I thought that was pretty cool. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. On your website, you state your mission as a church, sustained by grace. We are called to serve Christ, share God's love, and work for justice in a complex world. You provide a tangible, measurable presence for Christ, not only one long block north of the rotunda, but throughout this region and state and country and world. In addition to the bedrock values that you have embraced from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, faith, hope, and love, in addition to those three, you have core values that include thinking and learning, inclusiveness, fellowship, stewardship, courage. Your mission, your core values as a congregation are so consistent with the Apostle Paul's emphasis on faith and sound teaching. When I first experienced Christ and the depth of his love in a very personal way, the song Pass It On was new on the market, and that dates me. Okay, I'm 63. It's all right. But listen to these words. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread God's love to everyone. You want to pass it on. As years went by, I became aware of the treasure of faith that had been passed on to me by my parents. When we gathered in 2010 to celebrate the life of my mom, the pastors shared that she had been doing Bible studies in the Roanoke City jail for over 18 years to the women that were in the jail. Mother taught over 700 Bible studies in the Roanoke City jail. And when we would ask her about the women, she would not call them prisoners. She would say, I was with my precious ladies. Precious ladies. I received the gift of faith and sound teaching from my father as well. I have a collection of Dad's Bibles. Ken and Lynn, why is it that the preacher is the one that ends up with all the Bibles when your parents die? You know, I can tell you which of my sisters, no, of my siblings that needed it more. No, we won't go there. So Dad was a Gideon for over 40 years, and he gave out thousands of New Testaments to students and nurses and service women and men. He passed along the faith and the sound teaching to his five children. He was a meat salesman and a Dairy Queen owner. I can still put the Q on the top of a Dairy Queen ice cream cone. But it was faith and sound teaching. Paul commands Timothy to guard the treasure. So what is the treasure? It is the faith and the good news of Christ Jesus, crucified and risen. It is the life we have in and through him. Guard the treasure you were given, Paul says. Guard it with your life. Now I'm going to do something that may embarrass them a little bit, but all children and youth, please stand. Okay, Stand up if you will. Thank you. Got everybody? Okay. One thing I want you to know is that this church loves you. If you're visiting here for the first time, this church loves you. Westminster cares so much and is so honored to have you be a part of the life of this church. And you will have a time in your young adult years, perhaps, where you sort of slide away from experience with the church. And that's okay. It's going to happen. But you know that your church family loves you and will always lift you up and support you for what as you are growing. So I'll let you all sit down. Now I'd like all adults, young adults, to those of us who are chronologically advantaged. Parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, teachers and preachers and musicians and youth advisors and Presbyterian women and Sunday school teachers, thank you. Thank you for the faith and the sound teaching that you are doing within the course of the life of this church. Thank you for the lives that you are touching. Thank you for what I'm supposed to be on the microphone. I'll speak louder. Thank you. You pass the faith along. And we are so grateful that you do that. Keep on passing along the treasures that are so important, faith and sound teaching. You can be seated. That's what I call the seven-inning stretch, because I'm not through. When I reflect on how best to sort of illustrate this treasure of faith and sound teaching passed on to young people, I remember what I learned growing up in Covenant Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In the words of Scripture, I guard it, I protect it, I find that I embrace it every day of my life, and this is the faith and the sound teaching that I still treasure. When I was about 11 or 12 in middle school, is that right, about that time? So I was in the youth choir, and they exposed us to the Rejoice musical from the Roman Catholic Church. They had some awesome folk musicals, but one of those was called Rejoice, and we memorized it. And in that Rejoice musical was the song, the creed, the Nicene Creed. So I knew the Apostles' Creed, but I had never learned the Nicene. And so here I am. I was 11, 12 years old, and I thought, okay, I learned it then. I'll not use it again. I was in seminary. I was 25 years old, and the professor said, flip your paper over and write out the Nicene Creed. So I'm over there going, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. I don't think my classmates really cared for me, but it's okay. We still love each other. When I was growing up, about age 13, my grandmother said, you need to learn the Ten Commandments. And I was like, okay. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor or your neighbor's property. And then grandmother, I was learning because the Revised Standard Version was out, and I was learning from that 1952 version, but my grandmother said, nah, that's not good enough. You need to go back to the King James for Psalm 23. And so some of you know it in the King James. Others need to hear it. Let's say it together if you remember from the King James. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Barry read Psalm 100. That was one of the texts that I had to learn for my Boy Scout God and Country Award. And my pastor Jim was working with me on those. I was probably 15. He had me learn Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the land. He also had me learn John 3, 17, okay? Everybody knows 16. So he said, I want you to put 17 with it every time you quote it. And I was like, I can't wait to get home and find out what it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but came in order that he, the world, might be saved by him. Wow. I have to tell, this was not in the early service, but Carol Ann Moore Harris worked here one time. And one of the things that I appreciated about you all was the fact that you stood firm in some of the social justice issues. And I am grateful, grateful, grateful for that. Because over in the Shenandoah Valley where I was serving, sometimes I was watching Westminster and thinking, what would it be like to perhaps serve in a church that has a little bit more inclusive attitude? That's an aside. Okay, so you think that I was staying up memorizing scripture. Well, lest you think that's all that I did in my high school years, how many of you remember Hee Haw? So I'm watching Hee Haw one night, and I see Archie Campbell talking to Roy and clipping, looking like he's clipping Roy's hair in the barbershop. Roy's got this beautiful hair. And all of a sudden he says, Roy, I got a story to tell you. He said, once upon a time, in the middle of the fig forest, there were pea little thrigs. Okay, three little pigs, got it? All right, I can't tell this story the normal way. There were pea little thrigs. The first of the pea little thrigs, one of the piddlegs, decided he would hilt a bouse out of straw. He went to the fold armor, bought his straw, hilt his bouse out of straw, and along came a wig bad wolf out of the fig forest, and he said, I'm going to puff and huff and hoe your blouse down. Okay, well, keep moving on. Well, he huffed and he puffed and he hoo his blouse down, and the piddlelig ran into the fig forest. So the second of the pea little thrigs, one of the piddlelegs, decided he would hilt a bouse out of sticks. He went to the fold armor, bought his sticks, hilt his... I love this. This is great. You're just cracking me up. I think I'll come over there. Okay, so the second of the pea little thrigs bought the sticks from the fold armor, and he built the stick house, and then the big wig bad wolf came out of the fig forest, and he said, I'm going to puff and huff and hoe your blouse down. So he puffed and he huffed and he hoo his blouse down, and the piddlelig ran into the fig forest. So the third of the pea little thrigs, one of the piddlelegs, you got it? Good, okay. Decided he would hilt a bouse out of bricks. He went to the fold armor, bought his bricks, hilt his blouse out of bricks, and the other two piddlelegs came out of the fig forest into the hick blouse. Well, the wig bad wolf comes along and he says, I'm going to puff and huff and hoe your blouse down. So he puffed and he puffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed and he huffed, and he couldn't hoe the blouse down. Well, they figured out was what he was going to do. They took a pot of pulling potter, David. You got it? Okay. And they put it in the pyre place. Well, he rhymed up on the cliff and he slid down the chimney into the pot of boiling water. At what a porting water, I have no idea. And he cooked to death and they ate him for supper and lived happily ever after. All right. So that was high school. Sorry. So I told that one morning after I memorized it. I stayed up all night in Roanoke memorizing that. And I told it and my sister went, that was dumb. Sisters have a way of setting you straight, and I love them. But then I told Jim that text, that story. He loved it, but he said, now the Beatitudes next week. And I said, oh, goodness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets who were before you." And then I thought I was going to get away. I was getting ready to go to college, starting my last Sunday, and Jim said, "One more." I was like, oh, but it's so powerful. Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, who is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by a renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." My dear sisters and brothers, my dear friends, your ministry at Westminster is making a difference. It's making a difference in the heart of the person beside you, in your own heart, with the children and with the youth. You are true to faith. You are teaching sound doctrine and exciting young and old with the good news of the gospel of Christ. That which happens on these sacred grounds is life. It is light in the midst of darkness. It is faith. It is hope. It is love. And people will never, ever forget what you do here, teaching and modeling Christ's love. Well done. Well done, Westminster Church. Let us pray. Oh God, seal your word in our hearts today. Amen.